the arena of finances, every now and then I pick up a book that helps. This one was given to me by the Wasingers, Tom and Marlene. They keep this in handy on the prosperity of the Lord, what God taught Brother Hagin about the prosperity of the Lord. There's just some wonderful things in here, but we need to be proactive in our giving, in that we just don't put it in the offering basket and just believe maybe something will happen. We don't turn it over to the enemy. We turn it over in faith to God. Amen. And anyhow, God was instructing Brother Hagin at one time, and he told Brother Hagin, he said, because Brother Hagin was frustrated because monies necessary for what he was called to do weren't coming in. And we're all called to do something, and I think that sometimes where we lose sight of just financing, we think, well, God only provides for the ministry people that are in a fivefold ministry. No, God provides for every child of God. Regardless of your age, he wants to start and begin to give you increase for the rest of eternity. Not just while we're here on this earth, but for the rest of eternity. So Brother Hagin began to ask the Lord some questions about how do I get to the place where I begin to live this life and live it in a way that's getting my wants met. Because the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times I've wanted. And there's times I'm needed. And then we also have a scripture in Philippians that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So there is a different plane to live on. And that plane is a spiritual plane. It's called faith. And we begin to activate our faith in a way that I believe we should claim what we need. And that's what the Lord began to instruct Brother Hagin. He said, told Brother Hagin, said, you claim to be a stickler for the word. In the 23rd Psalm, you quote so many times, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says in the 34th Psalm, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And so the word of God tells us again in verse 10 of Psalms that those that are in the Lord will want no good thing. In other words, you'll come behind in no good thing. I'm going to talk to this group over here because it seems like a lot of people in the body of Christ do have wants, and they have them probably more than they want. And so what I am encouraging you to do is do what the Lord instructed Brother Hagin to do. And Brother Hagin proved this out over a lifetime. But he told Brother Hagin, he says, claim whatever you need or want. You claim it. And then you say, Satan, take your hands off my money. Because when you sow, you're releasing it in faith. And that's a seed that belongs to God. We don't turn it over to the enemy. We turn it over to God. And we put it into his kingdom. Amen. So you say, Satan, take your hands off my money. And then you tell the spirits of the Lord, the angels of the Lord, to go bring forth your money. Because they are to be ministering spirits for those who are heirs of salvation. That would be you and me. Amen. This is really good. I'm going to turn around and preach to the cross a little bit. But it's because of the cross and what Jesus did on the cross that we can live this way. And I believe, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody in this place is living up to the expectations of God's word. Don't settle for less. Amen. I don't care what position you're in. Don't settle for less. You begin to believe God now. Amen. So it doesn't say they'll minister to you, the angel. It says they'll minister for you. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? So I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I was thankful that the Lord put us in a position that we could increase in every area of our life. I've watched God over the years, and I've seen God do some very, very wonderful things. But I believe it had a lot to do with, I'm not perfect in this. Please don't misunderstand why the word is perfect. But I'm telling you, because of just a little bit of the word I've obeyed and entered into, my life has just been so much better. God just simply, he blesses me beyond my expectations sometimes. And he gets me to that place where I'm just forever grateful. So, everybody say, Satan!
Satan.
You know, we stopped off last week with a really good yell. But sometimes authority doesn't always mean loud, but sometimes it helps. But just say, Satan, get your hands off my money. So there. Amen. He has no right. You have all authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto you in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Real quickly, this is later than it should be by far, but this coming weekend, Friday night and Saturday morning, Light of the World in Topeka, we're having a men's conference. They're having a men's conference. I'm just showing up, but a young man by the name of Joy Roberts is ministering. And it would be worth the trip down for you to go down and listen to this guy. Minister, starts at 6:30 Friday and then it has another session or two in the morning on Saturday. The registration, fee is, I think, $45 for those of us who are over 18. And it's $35 for those who are under. And here's what I'm offering. If you decide to go, you can get on Light of the World Christian Center, LOW. Light of the LOTWCC.org. And it took me 8 months to remember that. You can register. And if you go, I'll pay your registration. But you need to get on, register for yourself. And when you show up, I'll give you the money that you paid for registration. And if you went down, four or five of you in a group, you'd go down and stay in a room. And a room would be rather cheap because all you need is a place to sleep for Friday night. And you're done by around Friday, probably 12, and then they have lunch, I think, Friday or Saturday. Then you come home, you can be home in good shape. But you would be glad you went, I promise you. So if that works out, it would be awesome for that. And if you want that information, just see me after church again. I'll write it on your forehead. Light of the World Christian Center. So anyhow, it would be worth going to. And I'll agree with that said. And then also on Wednesday nights, I've invited a man by the name of Keith Moore to come in and sit in on video and minister to you guys. But he's got a series, Giving No Place to the Devil, Giving No Place to the Enemy. And I'm telling you, it's a very powerful series. And sometimes, just like what I was talking to, even with our finances, we give him no place in our finances. Amen. We just keep on going, praise God. And so anyhow, this Wednesday night, Keith is going to be part two. And then the next Wednesday night is going to be part two, part B of part two, because this coming Wednesday night is like an hour and 30 minutes, somewhere in there. So, and if I kept you that long, some of you would have a problem with your Christianity probably. But it's worth the trip. Amen. Everybody say, Pastor Wes, you rock. Yeah, say it with enthusiasm. I haven't done this for a while, and I figured it was time to really, 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 really give you some stupid jokes. These are just short. Kind of make you think a little bit. Did you hear about the new restaurant called Karna? There's no menu. You just get what you deserve. Karma. Karma. What sits at the bottom of the sea and twitches? A nervous wreck. See, I'm going back to Topeka. You can't call me up or anything, so. Why can't you explain puns to kleptomaniacs? Because they always take things literally. Hey, if you don't get these, don't raise your hand, because that shows that you're not. What kind of exercises do lazy people do? Diddly squats. Oh, good night. This one made me laugh out loud. What did the tin man say when he got ran over by a steamroller? Curses, foil again. See, I can entertain myself. What did the shark say when he ate the clownfish? Tastes a bit funny. How many of you are ready to go home? Okay. These don't get any better, folks. I'm sorry that. What did the buffalo say when his son left for college? Bison. Some of you read that. You know, you say, where do you get these, Pastor West? From Reader's Digest. For learned people, people who want to know, they read Reader's Digest. Where does Batman go to the bathroom? The bat room. There you go. You guys are doing better. What do you call a rooster staring at a pile of lettuce? A chicken Caesar salad. What do you call a train carrying bubble gum? A choo-choo train. And if I had my drummer up here, I would have him. What are sharks' two most favorite words? Man overboard! How many of you are believing the message would be better? You and me both. I'm believing that. I'm believing it would be better. Now we'll go home for lunch, my family, and they'll all talk about how funny those jokes were, and none of them laughed here today. Because what happens is they finally get it when they get home. You got your Bibles. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. It's a verse of scripture we started out with last week, but I believe we need to go back over it and start there. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you for today so much for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for the life of God. Thank you, sir, for these people. Thank you, Lord, that they chose to be here. They could have chosen to be anywhere else, but they chose to be here. I believe they chose the good place. And so, Father, I know that by that, you have something to say to them. And I thank you, Lord, that I can call upon the greater one who indwells me, that he will think through my mind and speak through my lips as I call upon you, the greater one, who does indeed indwell me and indwells my brothers and sisters that are here in the Lord. And Father, today we bless that name again. We bless that name, Jesus, above which there is no other name. And we give you honor. We give you praise, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is the teacher of the church. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome your ministry. We welcome your life flow here today. And God, we bless that name. We bless the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, that this is the day that you have made and we can rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for healing that's represented by the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that our households are full of divine health. And we give you praise. And Lord, I thank you that our household are full of faith, not fear. Because we trust in you, the living God. And Lord, we thank you that we do not have to give fear a place in our lives. We open ourselves up to reverential fear of Almighty God. We bless you, give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. And all agree to that said. Amen, amen. While we're singing that song, it comes to me that sometimes people be singing along and say, what does it mean to be tried by fire? Well, it doesn't mean that God's given the devil his way and that he can come in and do anything he wants to you so he can help you become a better Christian. The enemy will never try to help you become a better Christian. When we're tried by fire, we're tried by fire of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and begins to wash out stuff that contaminates in our soulish realm and in a fleshly realm. He comes in to begin. And so when that Holy Spirit, when we give place to the Holy Spirit, so many times people push back on the Holy Spirit, but he's the one that helps us get to where we need to be in the kingdom of God. Having our purpose fulfilled, having God's purpose fulfilled through us, that's the Holy Spirit comes and helps us. He can come to you and in a moment's time say, we need to wash that out of you. And when he comes in, he can literally begin to wash the contamination of this world and the culture of this world that's come to contaminate our minds and our flesh. Amen. So anyhow, that God's not using the enemy as a battering ram, never will. But when you're tried by fire, it's fire of the Holy Spirit. And praise God, that's a good fire. That's a holy fire. Everybody say holy fire. If you get on fire with the Holy Spirit, people will come watch you burn. They may not understand it, but they'll come watch you burn. And when you're being burned by the Holy Spirit, that kind of person is just wanting nothing but God. And so it's important for us to get to that place where you know where kind of where you are with the Lord. But we need to get to the place where we want Him more than anything else. We want Him even more than being right all the time. Sometimes our right, being right can be wrong. Amen. Here we go. Deuteronomy 28 verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Well, that's encouraging starting off, isn't it? To keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you, and they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever, because, everybody say because. I remember growing, our kids growing up, and they'd come to me, and every now and then, one of them would say, you're letting so-and-so do something, and you like them better than me, and you treat them better than me. And I said, you know why? And they say, what? I said, because I do like them better than you. And sometimes that doesn't mean I don't love them, it just means I don't like what they're doing right at that time. And so in this particular case, God says the reason you've come under judgment, and this is, everybody say, this is the Old Testament, thank God. Because I don't believe God for one moment do I believe God is using what He just got through talking about in the New Testament to correct believers. We're chastised by the word of God, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 15. So the Lord says in verse 47, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need of everything. And He will put a yoke of iron on your neck and he until He has destroyed you. That's an incredible statement. And the reason that God was saying this to the Israelites was for one thing. He said, I don't like your hard attitude. I don't like the fact that you're not serving. And we can learn a little bit from this, but I don't believe God's coming to us this way in the New Testament covenant part of our life. Because Jesus bore our sickness and disease. He bore our punishment, if you will. And all that the enemy had and what the Lord said was coming up, and I don't have time to get into this, but real honestly, in the Old Testament, there's what you call, they use a lot, permissive and causative verbs. And the Lord says there's sometimes things that's going to happen in your life that you've permitted, and because you choose to permit them, I can't stop them. And then there's other times there's a causative verb that says, this is the way it's going to be. And then you probably need to line up with that. But a lot of times we don't want to line up with that. But God wants you to understand that He, with the conviction that comes through and by the Holy Spirit in the new covenant, He can help you get through any mess if you'll just walk with Him. Amen. He'll never, especially if that mess has come right from the pit of hell, He's never going to say, just kind of hang in there for a while. It'll do you good. No, He'll deliver you from it. And that's how and why He did what He did with Jesus, His only begotten Son. Either Jesus bore the curse of the law in His body or He didn't, and He did. Thank God. Everybody say thank God. So anyhow, in this passage, God makes an incredible statement. He said He was bringing judgment upon His people because of their hard attitude. Let me give you an expression or illustration. Have you ever told somebody, let's just say somebody that you didn't like for a season, because I know you're all perfect Christians, but have you ever told somebody you didn't like, but you told them something that you didn't really believe? I think you're a great person. Yeah, sucker. But anyhow, we've all done that. And we have to understand that God knows the thought and the intent of our hearts. He knows you better than you know you. I mean, you could just say, God, I love you. And God could just come right back at you and say, no, you don't. I'm not saying God would do that, but I'm just saying we can say things out of a wrong heart, if you will. If we're trying to impress God, what God wants us to do is lay our life down for one another. You know, not just love God, be loved by God, but also just lay our lives down one for another. Because that's what the world's looking for. They're looking for a group of people that really do love each other unconditionally. No, unconditionally. We've had the conditional part. You're a Democrat? My God, what's wrong with you? You're a Republican? My God, what's wrong with you? And then God looks down and says, my God, what's wrong with both of you? We have to really be on our toes, I think, just to keep our hearts right before God. That's why the Bible does admonish us over and over again to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Don't let them go. And if you have a thought about somebody that's not a godly thought, just say, God, forgive me. I'm not giving place. Because Jesus says, here's how you deal with those thoughts. Do not take that thought speaking it into existence. If the thought comes, how many of you know that every thought that comes into your brain did not necessarily come from your thought process? There's an enemy out there. Well, Pastor West, I don't believe there's an enemy. Well, you've got problems. Because there's an enemy. That voice that comes to you in the still of the night when nobody else around says, you're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. Who are you to call yourself a Christian? That's not coming from God. You've been rejected by so-and-so and so-and-so. So all you do is get rejected. Then you can just say, you know what? That may be true in some of those cases, but my father has never rejected me. He comes open arms to me. And he embraces me. Unconditionally. And that kind of perks you up a little bit. So what if man doesn't like you? God loves you. And if God before you, who can be against you? Amen. So God's just saying to them, he said, your thoughts, your emotions aren't right. Your thoughts, your emotions aren't right. And sometimes we give our voice to that. And that's what God wants us to watch for. He wants us to be a people that speak excellent speech. And that excellent speech is laced with the love of God. The love of God that passes knowledge, the Bible says in the New Testament. So what we do in this life is we begin to live every life. I'm not saying we all do it perfectly, but we should strive for that. We should strive for it. Amen? Just like some of us could be in trouble now and we don't know it because of our heart attitude. You know, if I was God, you know, and I've been serving God for almost 13 years now. My life's not a whole lot better. You better get yourself into a good state of joy. And you make the determination to do that. Well, I've been a Christian longer than them. Look what's happening to them. Listen, you run into trouble and you begin comparing yourself with another believer. You don't know what they have gone through. You don't know where they've been. And you don't know how quickly God's brought them to where they are. And they allow that. See, you can come along and your walk in the kingdom of God can be accelerated by your attitude. Or it can also be decelerated. Is that a word? It is now. Thank you. Fred said it was. It can decelerate your faith. Just by a hard attitude. Well, just like... I won't get into that. So after all, we do not want to give the enemy a place. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. This is out of the Message Bible. Says, after all, we don't want to unwittingly give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his sly ways. Paul's talking about church discipline. He's talking about a man who had done some not real good things. And the church had judged him for it. And they said, listen, you're found guilty. The word guilty might be a little bit heavy. But you're found guilty of wrongdoing. And we're marking you. Years ago. Everybody say years ago. I'm talking a lot of years ago. But I was counseling with an individual who had been somewhat abusive in his marital relationship. And I found out about it. And we're talking. I'm sitting behind my desk and him on the other side. And it happened once. And I just had mentioned, I don't want to hear that happened again. And he looked at me and he said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I've got some leadership in the church I can take you to. And we'll just talk to you. But you're not going to be able to come and sit. And it kind of jerked some slack in him, I think, a little bit. Because I told him I was going to bring him up before the board. And ended up moving. But here's the good news of this thing. He literally turned around. They moved away. They don't even live in Hayes area anymore. They moved away. But they're doing wonderfully. And it was tough for me to say something like that. Because I remember sometimes how sometimes I can be a little bit snippet with a little bit angry with my, at that time with Sandy. But we want to be Christians even when nobody's watching or listening because we know God is. Amen. How many of you think I just need to move right along right now and just get somewhere else? I'm not saying any of that to make anybody feel bad. I'm just saying sometimes we need to judge ourselves. We need to judge our own selves. Make sure that when we recognize a pole in somebody else's eye, we're not, or a splinter in somebody else's eye, we're not recognizing the pole that's in our eye. But thank God for people that turn around. That's what God is. He's the turnaround God. He gives us the ability to turn our life around. And we do that simply because we change our hearts. Say, God, have your way in me. And everybody say amen. Now we're talking about getting a grip, and today subtitled is You Grip It. You grab hold of what the Living Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. It says out of the Living Bible, with all these things in mind, dear brothers, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the truth that we taught you in our letters and during the time we were with you. The Thessalonians were not any different than us. They were being drawn in, sucked in a way. Our job on this earth, I think, is to maintain our faith in God. Everybody say, maintain our faith in God. Believers have a responsibility to maintain or have a grip on their position of faith in God. And they need to have a hope in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe Jesus is coming back? The Bible says the fact that you have faith and hope in the fact that Son of God is going to return, it'll keep your conscience clear if you're really believing He's coming back. Well, He may not be coming back right now, so I'll go ahead and do what I'm going to do. No, what if He comes back and you go ahead and do what you want to do? It's not what God wants you to do. Be embarrassing on the way up. That doesn't mean it'll keep you earthbound. I'm just saying there's going to be some washing taking place when you get up to the river of life in heaven. You know, sometimes we think we're going to get to heaven, walk in those pearly gates, but there's a time, and I don't have time to get in this, but one of the reasons we walk through the river of life is to wash out the contamination. Because there will be no sin present itself before God. And God will wash us clean. And everybody agrees with that says, amen. Maintain your present position in Christ. Your faith in God. Care for the brethren. And make sure you care for one another. And hope for the imminent return of Jesus. He is coming back. Everybody in here, we're subject to really being and in danger of, if you will, being swept downstream by the currents of our ungodly culture. And man, has our culture changed over the last 10, 15, 20 years. Our culture's different. We have people now openly calling white, black, black, white, evil, good, and good, evil. And they don't even flinch when they say it. And one of my son-in-laws who pastors, step-son-in-laws, I guess you would call him, who pastors in Manhattan, they're getting ready to have a rally for, Christians are saying, listen, we're going to stand up against this stuff. They're standing up against the critical race theory that's trying to suck its way into our school systems and people thinking it's absolutely a good. No, listen, anytime you make yourself better by making another race feel bad is right out of the pit of hell. And that's where that book is established, or that typical critical race theory. And just because people say we need to give place to it, that's a bunch of hooey. But in that place, in Manhattan, Kansas, they're getting ready to have a rally. They brought in a couple of speakers, one lady who is really openly has some really good insight into the critical race theory and how to present it. She's a black lady, and she's totally against it. So you don't make yourself better by making another race look bad. I don't care whether it's pink, yellow, red, whatever it is. You just don't do that. That's right out of the pit of hell. Have whites treated dark people badly? Yes, but black people have also treated black people badly. And when you start playing that race card, and if people don't understand the love of God, it's going to cause division, and that's just exactly what they want. Christians have a tendency to let go of the truth. But going back to, they're getting ready to have a rally this next Thursday in Manhattan. And so the liberal left has come out shooting at them, basically, is not a good word, saying things about them. So these people even think that the election was stolen. Well, I got news for you, stupid people. It was. And so they said, let's come out and let's really show them. We'll give you a t-shirt to wear and you can just support the critical race theory. By God, you can show them. Listen, those people just don't know better. But that doesn't mean we're going to shut up because they tell us to. Amen? And that's what the enemy would like to do. We need to get a grip on the truth and just be willing to back off of it. And you know me, I like to say what I really do feel like what I say is backed up by the Word of God. Just never let go of God-given truth. It will never be okay to abort a baby. Never. Just never. And anybody that fights for the right to abort a baby, there's got to be a little bit of something wrong with their thinking. Amen? So how do we eliminate those moments when we're tempted to let go, to loosen our grip on the truth? How do we deal with those moments? Because I'm assuming something here, but I think we all probably have that opportunity sometimes. Well, maybe I'm not going to hold on to that truth quite as much. But let me just give you several ways, and these are pretty simple ways. How to eliminate those moments when tempted to let go of your grip on the things of God. How many of you know that's a good thing? First step is make a quality decision. And you make those quality decisions based upon the Word of God. And then you make the determination that you're not going to go back. You determine. Everybody say, I determine. Make the determination not to go back. And here's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 16 through 17 out of the Message. May Jesus himself and God our Father, who reached out in love and surprised you with gifts of any help and confidence, put a fresh heart in you, invigorate your work, enliven your speech. Put a fresh heart, a new, refreshed way of thinking is what that would mean. Invigorate your work, enliven your speech. You determine which supply you're going to live with. The supply of the enemy or the supply of God. And we come to that point every day in our life. Everybody say every day. We really do. The more we live for God, the more we enjoy life. You stay out of a lot of messes. You pass them up. You know, I remember what Kenneth Copeland said years ago. He said in one of his messages among many that he's preached over those almost 60 years of ministry. But I remember early on when I was at Rhema, he came and he said, you know, just recently I had three opportunities to sin. I passed two of them up. But we need to get to where we've just passed all three of them up. Amen. Because any area of compromise, if we just continue to give ourselves to it, it's a slippery slope into compromise in other areas. And so that's basic, I think, what we're saying. We're saying get a grip. Get a grip on the truth of God so that you're not back off from what the Lord wants to do. When you have the opportunity to get a grip on life, take it. And don't wait forever. Acts 26:19. The message says, what could I do, Agrippa? This is the Apostle Paul talking. What could I do, King Agrippa? I couldn't just walk away from a vision like that. I became an obedient believer on the spot. Everybody say on the spot. Boy, when you have an opportunity to hook up with God, do it on the spot. Do it right now. How many opportunities did you have before you finally said, Lord, I surrender? I had several. But boy, when I surrendered, it was the best thing I ever did. Thirdly, in other words, when you have the opportunity to get a grip on life, take it, take it. Determine, take it, and now stand for God. Everybody say stand for God. Doesn't mean just standing for God in the church, but it's the church standing for God outside in the community. Amen. Well, the next thing you know, those church people are going to want to start praying in school again. You think? We haven't quit. I don't walk through a school door. I tell you what, I go to ball games and I pray, God, help me to keep my mouth shut. But when you stand for God, He stands for you. Amen? Acts 26:22. But God has stood by me just as He promised. I'm standing here saying what I've been saying to anyone, whether king or child, who will listen. Everybody say, who will listen? So if you determine, make a quality decision. When you have the opportunity to walk in truth, take it. Don't pass it up. And that truth will become powerful in your life. It'll become a pillar in your life. And then when you have an opportunity to stand for God, stand for Him. We have people in our church that really would like, they're in the military, and they would really prefer not to take the jab. And they mandate that everybody should, and then they threaten them, if you don't take it, then we're going to give you a dishonorable discharge, and you're going to lose all your benefits and stuff. Where is that on you, John? So they're just delaying it. So it's a nice one. With benefits. Well, he made a stand before that was ever said. I'm sure it was all because of my letter. But there are people, I know people in Topeka and I know people in Hayes that have been pushed into a corner and said, you either get the jab or you're not going to have a job here. And to me, if you're going to make a stand for God, if you want to get the jab, get the jab. If you don't want to get the jab, don't get the jab. But do what God says to do. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as in the Lord. And then if somebody has had a jab, don't give them a bad time. If they haven't had it, don't give them a bad time. Amen. Standing for God is a good way to live. I know what I'd do if they'd say, every pastor, and if you want to be a nonprofit organization, then you're going to have the jab. I'd say, well, forget the nonprofit stuff. You can take this job and have a great time with it. Yippee dog. Acts 26. You guys okay with this? We got to be a little bit tough in our walk with faith. And I say tough. There's got to be some toughness there. But that toughness comes from knowing what the Word of God says. I'm talking about spiritual strength. That toughness, that determination to be able to make a quality decision. I'm not turning back. Everybody's thrilled to making a quality decision until God comes and says, would you consider tithing? Every area, when you have an opportunity to do it, do it. Grab hold of it. And your tomorrow will be brighter. And everybody agree with that said. Acts 26, verse 23, the message again. One, the Messiah must die. This is just a simple gospel. The Messiah must die. Two, he's going to be raised from the dead. And he will be the first rays of God's daylight shining on people far and near. People both godless and God-fearing. That was too much for Festus. He interrupted with a shout. Paul, you're crazy. You've read too many books, spent too much time staring off into space. Get a grip on yourself. Get back in the real world. But Paul stood his ground. With all respect, Festus, your honor, I'm not crazy. I'm both accurate and sane in what I'm saying. See, now, there's where Paul and I differ. I would have said, in all respect, Festus, your honor, I'm not crazy. You are. But he didn't. He said, I am both accurate and sane in what I'm saying. The Bible says that Paul almost got King Agrippa saved. There, in the Bible, there are two King Agrippas. There's senior and then there's junior. Senior was a bad dude. And the one that said he almost got saved is a junior. And there were two kings, and King Agrippa, number one, got himself in trouble because he took the praise of the people and he said, his voice is like God's. And he took it as, I must sound like God. If I sound like God, I must be like God. And then in Acts chapter 12, verse 23, it's not good to mess with Mother Nature, so to speak, because Acts 12, 23 through 24, instantly an angel of the Lord struck Herod with a sickness because he accepted the people's worship instead of giving the glory to God. So he was consumed with worms and died. Meanwhile, the word of God continued to spread and there were many new believers. You and I getting a grip on the truth of God's word and not compromise leads the way to more people being born again. I'm telling you, people in the world want to see a people that are standing fast with the word of God in the midst of trying circumstances and saying, listen, that may be the way it is for the world, but bless God, it's not that way for us. I believe that. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith, your conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Keeping the trust and holy fervor both of faith and a part of it, act like men and be courageous. Grow in strength. Act like men and be courageous. Don't back off. Can you say amen? I'm not telling everybody go out and quit their job and just show everybody what, you know, just believe God. Even like in your own company, believe God for the wisdom of God to prevail. I think I said years ago that one of the things that was happening, and I mean, that's been over 25 years ago I said it, but one of the things I said was concerning me more than anything else was that government was trying to become our God. And that's exactly where they are today. Trying to be our God. Queen Pelosi will not see me bowing to her. Galatians 5:1, Amplified. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to the yoke of slavery, which you've once put off. And see, that means you could have once been free and then you could just over a period of time begin to give yourself back to that bondage again. And so Paul's admonishing the Galatians, he said, listen, stand fast in the liberty that you've been made free and don't be ensnared again by that yoke of slavery which you once put off. Don't take it back on you. Resist it. That's how you do it. And the Word of God is the only way I know to resist it. In the name of Jesus, come against the enemy that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Philippians 1:27. Only be sure as citizens so to conduct yourself so that your manner of life will be worthy of the good news, the gospel of Christ, so that whether I do come and see you or am absent, I may hear this of you, that ye are standing firm in united spirit and purpose, striving side by side and contending with a single mind for the faith of the glad tidings of the gospel. Glad tidings which affect your emotions. We teach a lot in the faith world that, you know, we're not led by our feelings. We're not led by our feelings, but we can be led by good, godly feelings and emotions. Can you say amen? And then one more verse. Now don't hold me to this, but I think it is one more verse. A couple of them actually. Maybe six or seven. 1 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 6, and we'll read through verse 8 in the Amplified. Says, but now that Timothy has just come back to us from his visit to you and has brought us the good news of the steadfastness of your faith and the warmth of your love, and reported how kindly you cherish a constant and affectionate remembrance of us, and that you are longing to see us as we are to see you, brethren. For this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we have been filled with comfort and cheer about you. There's emotions there. Because of your faith. Faith stirs up godly, true faith stirs up godly emotions. Amen. For this reason, in spite of all our stress and crushing difficulties, we've been filled with comfort and cheer about you because of your faith, the leaning of your whole personality on God in complete trust and confidence. Because now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord, comfort and cheer emotions. This is an old story I'm about to share with you. But it was one of those times that I was being tried with fire. And didn't really like it. Because we think we come into the kingdom of God that we're never going to have a problem. We're never going to have a challenge. But there's an enemy in this world. And that enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. God said that he sent his son so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I won't make this story because some of you say, I've heard that before, but you know, you might get something out of it this time. You can hear a story over and over and over and over and over again, and all of a sudden, wow. But we were in a position in this church where we had really no income to pay the mortgage. Things had gone bottom up. People had left. Income had gone down. And there just seemingly seemed like there was no way to do anything. Except maybe possibly close up. I had bankers calling me. Had lawyers calling me, telling me they were foreclosing on us. And yada, yada, yada. And it was just not a fun time. And one of the law firms in town, this is always nice, they hire a law firm in town to do the lawsuit because that way everybody can know about what's happening at that time, Joy Fellowship. And I had people that we owed money to that would drop by, driving through on interstate, they would drop by And I would do everything I could to try to talk them through and say, we're going to get you some money. And I remember one time a guy stopped and I'd gone to the bank to borrow money. And I was even willing to sign a note personally just so I could pay him off to shut him up. And so we're sitting in the lobby of the bank, and that's back when it was, I think, Farmer State Bank. We're sitting in the lobby of that bank, and we're sitting there, and this man who at that time is about the age I am now, young man. But he looked at me, and while we're sitting there talking, and I'm trying to do what's right with him. And I know he's frustrated with what's happened with the church and our inability to pay him like we said we would. And we're sitting there, and he said, you know what you are? And I said, no. He said, you're a charlatan. So my immediate thought was, I'm going to go home and look that word up. I kind of had an idea what it meant. I said, well, sir, I was going to be nice to you, and I was going to get your money, but as far as I'm concerned now, you can just wait. And I got up and I started walking off. I made a stand. You know, you never beat somebody up when they're already down and out. Those are the kind of people God takes issue with you over. But anyway, he got up and followed me out of the bank and said, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And I said, well, you evidently did because you said it. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to say it. I told Nathan that once when he was 2 years old. How old is Nathan now? 2 years old, we're driving around, and he's just yada, 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 and just talking, ask a question. I said, Nathan, just because you have a thought doesn't necessarily mean you have to say it. Then he just kept on asking questions, I said, Nathan, why are you asking so many questions? And he looked at me and said, because I don't know anything. So, well, that's a good response. So anyhow, that's the kind of situation we were in, and that we were believing God as best we knew how, and then I remember multiple phone calls with the bank representative at that time for the mortgage in First National Bank in Amarillo, and there's this one guy by the name of Ken that was dealing with us, and he'd call and put pressure on us to tell us what they were going to do, and after weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of that, I just thought, nah, that's enough. So one day I'm sitting at the desk, in my desk, where I am now, except the office is arranged a little bit differently. And he's telling us what's going to happen. I said, we don't need to wait on that. I pulled out, I had a ring of keys that I carried with me to unlock doors and stuff, and I jingled it in the phone. In the mouthpiece. And I said, you know what that is? He said, no. I said, that's the keys of this church. And I'm laying them on the desk and I'm walking out. You can have this church. I'll have church in my house. We'll make the neighbors mad. I didn't think that. And you know what? As soon as I made that stand, I heard him say, we don't want the church. I said, well, neither do we. We've got a problem here. Problem here. And I said, if you want us to be a part of the solution, then you're going to have to work with us where we can work with you. Because what you're asking us to do, I can't do right now. I'd like to say I could, but I can't. And I had faithful people that were standing with me, and dear God, thank God for them, and some of them are still here. And so what happened was, over a period of time, it was right in that season, I'm driving out to the bypass on 27th. And I almost get to the bypass and I hear the Lord say, I've given you faith to pay that building off. I said, glory to God. About 18 years later, it happened. Now, if I were God, I would have done it quicker than that. But here's the thing. He did it. Back in, when was our last payment on this, Brandon? Was it 2015? You're the banker. You're the nice banker. I do have nice bankers in my life. But I think it was 2015 we paid the last. It was either 2015 or 2016. One of those years in December. But along the way, I heard the Lord say some things to me and to Sandy. She was still living at those in those times. And he just simply said, if you'll do so much, if you'll give so much to help pay off what he called his house, he said, I will help you pay off your house. I thought, okay. And so we began to whittle away. We didn't stop tithing. We didn't stop giving offerings. We just started believing God. And God provided money. We gave literally thousands of dollars personally to paying off that final push for debt. And I'm not saying that bragging. I'm saying it just thank you, Jesus. And so in December of 2015 or December of 2016, one or the other, we paid the last payment on this building. And we had, literally had a, we burnt the mortgage outside the building, which was wonderful. A month later, I wrote a check for $156,000 to pay my house off. Because I made a stand. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't happen. It did too. It's just, listen, God, I could have given up if I would have walked out, and way back when I'd never seen the hand of God deliver. Now, there's, and so in a way I was being tried by fire, but you know what the Bible says? That stuff that we're going through, God's going to help us walk through. He didn't send it to destroy our lives. He will turn it to our good. And that's what I'm saying. Get a grip on the Word of God. Be willing to stand for the Word of God. And when you stand for the Word of God, know that God stands with you. He wasn't embarrassed by what we were going through. I mean, we were trying to do what God wanted us to do. We just didn't do it real well. And to my knowledge, I probably grew more spiritually through that time than any other time. I've grown a lot in different areas. But that seemed to just kind of put some backbone in my life. God can take care of me. Amen. And brothers and sisters, he can take care of you. We live in a day and age where we need to believe that. If you think this COVID-19 was something, you know, the evil, wicked spirits that are controlling certain people in different places would like nothing more than to take out the entire world. But I got news for the enemy. God is not done with the United States. He's not done with this world. And he's not punishing it. There's going to come a time when this world is going to become a new world. But on the way there, we're going to be walking with God, talking with God, living with God. And I believe the United States has yet to see its finest hour. And it's coming because of the body of Christ taking a stand. I don't care what happens in other churches, but I'm telling you right now that I believe that God is on our side because we're on his side. Amen. Pastor West, do you still believe that Donald Trump will be? Yep. I don't care what people think about me anymore. You eventually get to a certain age where people can, I don't believe that stuff. Well, I feel sorry for you if you don't believe that God's able to turn this around. Is anything too hard for God? He's the one that created this world. Why could he not straighten it out? Just a little bit of intricacies that have begun to happen in this world and people begin to violate. We have a government that literally is pointing and pushing a finger into the eye of God. But I'm telling you, God's going to politely push that finger back. Possibly he's pushing it back. Anyhow, I'm saying God is just simply waiting on you and me to continue to make a stand. Make that determined, quality decision to walk with God. And whenever you have an opportunity to take a word from God, take it, grab hold of it, and then make sure, bless God, that you're just going to live that way. You're not going to turn loose, regardless of age. Can you say amen? God is with you, and so if God's with you, who can be against you? That doesn't mean we do this thing perfectly. We don't. But we know somebody who is. Amen. And the reason, I can also say this because I don't have a problem with them, but the reason we have probably had to go through that is because I didn't listen to God when he said don't do it. When it came to that bond program. He said do not do it. And I went ahead and did it because everybody that was there wanted to do it, and I said, well, okay, and didn't turn out so well. But it did turn out well. And so when it came time, people would ask me, why did I stay here for so long? One of the reasons I believe God had me stay here so long, because he wanted to use me to pay that debt off. I didn't think it was fair to take off and leave the debt with the congregation, that I was the one that led them into it. Think about that. That happens all the time in the church world. Get a church over their head in debt and, bye. Shame on pastors to do that. Amen. Well, I've talked most of you to sleep. You all get the spirit of what I'm saying? It's up to us to grab hold and not turn loose. None of us have walked in this perfectly, but bless God, we can walk uprightly because of the blood of Jesus that's washed us. Our life can be so much better than what they are right now. And mine's not too bad. How about yours? In the middle of all this, in the middle of all this COVID area, boy, am I glad this thing was paid off. Have all that hanging over you. You guys have been awesome. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I used to sing a song that's called Thank You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me so great a salvation, so rich and so free. Amen. That salvation that you get when you accept Jesus, it literally can change your life forever and continually make it better and better and better. And if you agree with that, say, amen, amen, amen. Dexter, I had a word for you and Kristen earlier this morning. I just looked back there and I saw you smiling, or otherwise I wouldn't have seen you. But you and Kristen are doing stuff that a lot of people won't do. You're being responsible. And God has watched it. He's watched your hearts. He's watched your intensity and staying and making the decision to do the right things. And the Lord just wanted me to tell you that you are making steps up, and he's making a way for you to make steps up. Because he's going to honor your faith. As individuals, but as a couple. Amen? Amen. So you expect good things from the Lord. Amen. And he's going to put you in places you didn't ever dream possible as a couple. Amen? Glory to God. God is a good God all the time, and he knows those who trust in him. Hallelujah. Father, I bless these people. I bless them in the name of Jesus, and Lord, that they come behind in no good thing. You're a good God, Father God, and we stand with you. When we stand for you, you stand for us. So we make a quality decision. We take the word of God when it comes our way, and we stand for you. And we give you honor. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. Well, be dismissed. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv. or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.